The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel. Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step 1, download Rocket Money. Step 2, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step 3, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
June shows coming up. June 24th, I'm in Des Moines, Iowa, one night only. June 25th, headed to Omaha, Nebraska, one night only. And back at Brea, California, June 30th, one night only as well. Get your tickets to those shows and all shows at ryansickler.com.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to the Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it in the Night Pan Studios. I'm Ryan Sickler, ryansickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all your social media. Look, I want to start this episode again with gratitude. Thank you. Thank every single one of you for your support. Thank you for all that you do, the messages. I'm telling you, you're changing my life as well. I mean that, all right? So if you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe. It helps a lot. It's a free way to support the show, right? And then if you have to have more Honeydew, and who doesn't, you got the Patreon. It's called The Honeydew with Y'all, all right? We do an episode a week, all right? It's $5 a month. If you sign up for a year, you get over a month free. You're also getting The Honeydew a day early, ad-free, at no additional cost, all right? If you or someone you know has that story that has to be heard, please submit it to honeydewpodcast@gmail.com. Currently, every Thursday, we're releasing 10 of our favorite Patreon episodes on the main YouTube, so you can get a taste of what it's like. It's one of the 10 episodes I highlighted with Josh Wolf, and there are 90-some other ones. I promise you, it is a wild show and worth every bit of it if you can afford it, all right? The Night Pants Nation Tour continues. Guys, thank you for your support. We have sold out a show or more in every single city I've been in, all right? So thank you. Des Moines, I'm headed your way, June 24th, one night only. Omaha, June 25th, one night only. And Brea, California, I'll be back there. Jason Ellis will be with me. Brenton Biddlecombe will be with me, and we'll be there on June 30th, all right? Now, you guys know what we do over here. I always say these are the stories behind the storytellers. We're going to be highlighting the lowlights with a guest who's first time here on the Honeydew. Been waiting a long time for this. I'm very excited, ladies and gentlemen. Please welcome Sal Volcano. Welcome to the Honeydew, Sal.
Wow, that's nice. I feel that energy, man.
I'm stoked to have you here. All right, before we get into whatever we're going to talk about, please plug and promote everything you'd like.
All right. Yeah, sure. Right on. I do two podcasts, one with Chris DiStefano called Hey Babe. I do another one with Joe DeRosa called Taste Buds, where we argue intensely over food. Both of those can be found on the No Press channel on YouTube or on Spotify, iTunes, and that kind of thing. I'm touring. My tour dates can be found on my website, SavileCanoComedy.com, as well as all that other stuff, merch and things like that. So let me see. I will be in Rochester on June 10th, Syracuse on June 11th. We got, I'm joining Bert for a festival on June 16th in South Bend, Indiana, with a bunch of other comics. That's going to be a lot of fun. I say Bert as if everyone knows, but I'm sure
everybody
they do.
Knows.
Bert Kreischer, yeah. June 17th in Milwaukee at the Pabst Theater. June 18th in Minneapolis at the Pantages. And then let's just jump around a little bit because I just announced a bunch more. I'll be at Vegas, my first ever in Vegas.
Congrats.
July 15th at the theater at the Virgin Hotel. Phoenix, July 16th. Boulder, Colorado, July 17th. And then Portland, July 20th. Seattle, July 21st. And July 22nd in Vancouver. And then last thing I'll do, because these got postponed and I want people to know they're still out there, I'm doing Louisville on November 18th and Evansville, Indiana on November 19th, the home of Don Mattingly.
The home of Don Mattingly.
Yeah, yeah.
Go see Sal. Go see him.
Thanks for listening through all of that.
Of course. I just want to say this, too, before we even begin. And this is something going way, way, way back. I remember Court TV during the daytime. And then about halfway through the day, or maybe it was the night, they would switch to this True TV that had you guys on it.
Yeah.
This is how many years ago when you started – how many years ago was it that Court TV was still on during the day?
I think that when we started, it might have just stopped.
Just stopped?
Just stopped. Because I remember when we started, there was three towing shows. I'm not joking.
Yeah,
there was three. Lizard Lick, Miami, three
TV.
Towing
three
shows.
Three towing shows and seven cupcake shows. Yeah. I still can't get a goddamn show.
And there was a porn show, like what? There was like the original, and then they did, and then there was the original Storage Wars, and they did. So it was all that kind of television.
What year is that?
This is we got a deal with them, I think, in 2010.
Okay, so 12 years.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah.
And to see your fucking rise,
they took a flyer on a comedy show, and I think we were the first straight comedy. We were the only non-reality show. People still refer to us as a reality show. We're not a reality show. I mean, they think it's just they group us in with unscripted into reality. But we're very much – we're unscripted in certain ways, but we're very much scripted. We have to think all this stuff out. We write a ton of jokes. We improvise in the moment, but we're very much scripted too. But, yeah, and then I think it kind of like – we can't believe it, but it kind of altered the – I guess the MO of the network,
and then the whole thing
they became comedy. Yeah,
you were the anchors.
I can't even. Yeah, it's crazy.
And then to see you, we did the Vegas festival a few years back.
Yeah.
And I was saying to watch you walk through a casino and be stopped.
Yeah,
every second I was like, man, this fucking guy is hell yeah. And well, then you've just good for you, dude.
Thanks.
Good
man.
For you. Yeah. I'm proud
they play the show enough. It's sickening how much
it's everywhere. Who cares? Yeah. Let them play.
Yeah.
It's always
it's
something.
It's repeatable.
Though.
So they play the shit out of it. We end up getting syndicated. And so after all this time, it's like you could turn on a television and we actually got some statistics and we were on the air 51% of airtime.
No, on all TVs.
A few years ago when we were renegotiating our deal, they were like, yeah, they're no on their networks. 51% of the time you
more
turn
than
on
half the time.
Of every other show
right,
combined.
It's you.
So I was like, that is a little weird, but also like fine. I mean, it's that's how much that's I think really if they didn't repeat the show like that, I mean, that really helped a lot. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
But now you're out in theaters, you're doing everything. So yeah. I asked you to do this. You're like, I don't really know what I wanted to talk about. And, you know, just quickly you started crying. So we'll
dude, I'm not kidding you. You got if this is about that. Get ready because I tell everyone all the time, I'll cry at a Pep Boys commercial. I'm not even kidding around. Just give me one moment in a commercial. I tear. I actually wonder, like, you know, what's wrong with me that I can cry that quickly, that easily. A song,
dude,
a movie,
too,
a
though.
Thing, a that, like anything. I see a tender moment in the streets.
Yep.
I'm crying.
Something happens.
And so
I'm the same way. The saying I heard before was, I come in peace, ready for war. And I am very much pet the puppies and hello the kids and, you know, and then I'll go over here and I'll cut your fucking throat out if I have to. Okay. All right.
Yeah, I don't take shit.
But I will cry. I cry at commercials.
Yeah, same, man.
I mean,
dude, if I even hear once, move that bus, I just start crying. Yeah.
I remember. It was the Hall of Fame, and it was Chris Carter. He had gotten accepted.
Oh, yeah, Vikings?
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
and he got up, and, you know, he was with the Eagles first and had his addiction problems and then came back and really,
That boy catches touchdowns.
And he, I guess I don't know what his background was, but he kept talking about his, like, older brother who was like a dad to him and who really took care of him. And he just starts bawling. And he goes, I can't remember his name. He's like, whatever, Joe Carter. You go to the Hall of Fame too. I started bawling. I'm by myself. There's no other question. I'm by myself and I'm yelling out loud. That's so nice. That's so nice.
Yo, in 1998, I was just a kid. Oh, it was in 98. Whenever Titanic came out.
Well, I just watched that with my daughter.
My first young serious girlfriend, we had broken up for the first time. I think I was like a teenager or something. And I used to love going to the movies. I wanted to be like a filmmaker or a screenwriter back then. So I would go see everything. And I remember, this is so corny, but I remember going to Titanic and I just was going through a breakup, my first real one. And I remember sitting at a matinee watching the Titanic alone, crying. No, for like 3 hours straight. Or the end, like when she just lets him go. I was like, no, man. crying. I cried at a movie one time. It was so intense. In hindsight, I don't know if it would hold up as that intense, but Vince Vaughn was in it with Joaquin Phoenix, and it's about this and Anne Heche. I don't remember what it was called, right? Paradise.
I remember. This is a weird one, wasn't it?
So Joaquin Phoenix is in another country backpack, and he's this like hippie, peaceful guy, and he had like hash on him, and they threw him in jail, and they ended up. I mean, look, it's a spoiler alert, but this movie's 20 years old, so what do you want from me? They sentence him to death, and they hang him in the movie at the end, and like, you don't think that's going to happen. Like, that's really not how movies work, you know? And then Vince Vaughn is there. They were on this trip together, and so when they hang him, he's like, you don't know if it's going to happen or not. I haven't seen this movie since the time in the theater. I never saw it again, but it's ingrained in my head, and it's like about to happen. You realize, oh shit, like they're actually going to do it. And I remember like he had to just like make eye contact with Vince Vaughn right before it happened. And they wouldn't let him go near. And he's yelling through the jail cell. And he's like, I'm with you. I'm right here. I'm with you. And then they fucking hang him. And I was bawling in the theater. And then somebody, it was like a matinee. There was like eight other people in the theater. And somebody laughed. And I was like, man, fuck you. I just like screamed. I don't know if they're laughing at the movie or me, but I was like, what kind of soulless person are you? I'm bawling right now. And they're laughing.
You ever have a moment where you're somewhere, like this happens to me. I've been before at, I've told this story before, but I'll tell it because you'll appreciate it. So it was right before Christmas, 2019, before the pandemic. Yeah. I go into Ralph's. I'm at the cold cut counter and I'm asking the lady, I want like a pound of boar's head ham and some cheese and slice it thin or whatever.
That's how you do it.
And I hear her with the Italian accent. And I was like, and she's like, I go, I'll be right back. I'm going to go grab a couple things. And she goes, wait here, talk to me. It's just the two of us, right?
Yeah. You're East Coast, right?
Yeah,
you're
I'm from Maryland? Baltimore.
Yeah.
So, and my whole family's Italian.
Yeah.
My dad was the mutt that ruined it, but everyone else, my mom's side is all Italian, DeVito, my grandmom's all DeMemo, so.
Slice it
fucking thin.
Yeah.
And, she's like, stay here and talk to me. She's like, what are you doing for the holidays? And I was like, I'm just actually going to do, this year I'm doing it different. I'm not doing turkey and shit. I said, when I grew up as a kid, everywhere I went, and I didn't realize it till I got older, but when I went to my grandmother's house, if it was Easter, there was ham. If it was Thanksgiving, there was turkey, but there was also lasagna, stuffed shells, baked rigatoni. You had all the options.
Yeah.
But then we'd leave her house and go to her sister's house, and it's there, and it's there. So I didn't realize until I literally started dating girls in high school, and I would go to like their event. I'd be like, where's the baked ziti? And they're like, what the fuck are you talking about? I'm like, it's, and
I was, hey, what do you mean? Oh, it's Christmas Eve. It's the Christmas Eve. Yeah.
Where are the seven? Where are the seven fishes? And they're like, what are you talking about?
Big ziti.
I've never done that.
You know what I feel like? We're going to get into some stuff, and then the hour's going to be up, like in therapy, and then I'm just going to be like crying, be like, all right, like,
I'll see you
that's,
later.
That's the thing about therapy, because I go, you know, and it's crazy that you look, you'll be like right down at the, and they're like on top of it, you know, they're like, you know, you could be in the middle, yeah. All right, so, and they just bring out the, like, the date book, they're like, uh-huh, uh-huh, and when are you good next week? And I'm like, oh, all right, so I guess maybe try Wednesday. Like, and then I'm out of the room. 30 seconds before I opened that door, I was in the middle of like something, some shit, you know.
So I'm at this counter, and the lady's talking to me, and I say, you know, my grandmom, she would always have the Italian options, you know, and I'm going to do that this year. But I'm also going to get crab cakes, things like that. Right. Just make a smorgasbord of shit I like for Thanksgiving. This is what crab I'm going to be feast. Thankful for. Exactly. So, we keep talking, and she starts telling me about her daughter who's dating someone now, and she's going to be there for the holidays, and we're going back and forth, and she's the nicest fucking lady. We just straight up bond. And then she gives me the cold cuts, and I'm like, thank you so much. I go, what's your name, by the way? And she goes, Carmela. And I go, that's just right away it got me. I go, did you say Carmela? She goes, yeah. I go, that's my grandmom's name. Dude, I fucking start crying at the deli counter, bro. It's like 7:30 at night. I'm bawling. And that's not enough. I named my company after my daughter and my grandmother. I named it Stella Carmela. So it's on the credit same. Card, right? So I take out the cup, crying, like, look.
I got my grandparents, all their initials, all four of them tattooed on me right now. Every single one of my LLCs is named after my grandparents. But my first two companies were one set of grandparents and the other set of grandparents. No joke.
That's great.
It was my grandparent. My first company is my mom's parents' address that they grew up at. And my touring company is literally named Rosinetti after my grandparents.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
It's great. And then I'm telling you, the weird thing is, I don't remember ever seeing that woman before, and I looked for her after actively, and I never saw her in there again. And I was like, that is fucking crazy. Wow. Like, I wonder if she was just transferred from another store one night to cover a shift. You right, know what right, I mean?
Right.
I was
sure,
like,
sure, sure.
I couldn't.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I'm bawling at the deli counter.
Was she taken aback? Because she wasn't like, well, she's like, why are you
she
crying?
Was right there with me. No, because oh, really? When I said my grandmother's Carmela, she got it. I was just like, And I mean, also seeing a grown man crying over ham, you know what I mean? Yeah, like, it's probably a little stuck.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been there. All
right,
so.
Especially if they don't slice it thin, I get upset right away.
I'm like, this is what you call thin right here? Nah, bro. He's like, oh, you want me to break my arm? I'm like, don't shave it either. Don't
I
fucking
worked
at shave
deli for 4 years.
You did?
Yeah, growing up.
Do you have a deli slicer at home, like a countertop?
I don't have one at home.
I'm getting one.
Yeah, I still have the mark on my finger right there where I sliced it on a pepperoni this lady ordered. She got a 12-pack of bun and she ordered pepperoni. Yeah,
Just eat like that.
I sliced it, you know, and I sliced my finger right on. I had to go to the hospital. I'll never forget that one. Yeah, she was annoying.
All right, well, let's talk about you. Your background, because I want to know, where originally are you from and what was your home life like? Are you one of many? Are you an only child? Tell me about that.
Yeah, right on. So born and raised in Staten Island, New York. My parents got divorced when I was about four. My dad and mom was my dad's second marriage. My dad got married very, very young. He got married at like 17, I think.
Damn.
And he had a daughter. And then one thing led to another, and his then wife or ex, whatever it was, she took their daughter and moved to California. Now, this is like in the late 60s, early 70s. So back then, it was hard to find people if that happened. It wasn't like now. Like, it's like you got to look through a phone book if it wasn't listed.
So she just took the daughter.
Yeah, they just didn't get along.
Which is your sister.
Yes. Well, I wasn't born yet.
Right.
But yeah, but so I didn't know her growing up. So, and then my parents got married, and then I had me, and then my younger sister, she's 3 years younger. And then my parents were only married for like, they might've been married a few years before I was born, but I was four. So then they split.
5 year, 6 year.
Something like that.
So your mom has two kids and your dad has three. Is that right?
My mom has two kids and my dad has four kids.
Oh, four. He had two.
Wait, there's more. Okay. So when they got divorced, my dad got married, just a couple years after that, still with my stepmom now. And I have my youngest sister, who's 36 now, but you know what I mean? But yeah. Like from that. So I have three sisters, one older. Who I didn't grow up with. And then the two younger ones that I did, grow up with. And then I finally met my sister when the internet started to be more prevalent. Like we searched her out, and then I met her when I was like in sixth grade. And then
what was that like?
It was pretty cool.
Like, did she know about you guys?
She did. Yeah,
she did.
But no one ever connected us, and so she came and she stayed with us summer for us when she was like 17, and I was like maybe like 12, whatever.
Oh,
I was.
Hell yeah, okay.
And we hit it off, and then she wanted to come. She liked it so much, she wanted to just move back. But my dad tells me, he didn't want to do what happened to him, where she just takes her away from the, like, you know what I mean, the family, and let her come live here, because he wanted to more than anything. But I think that she had, like, was upset with that, and then we lost touch again for years. And then my youngest sister years later just was like, this shouldn't be this way. So she like communicated with her, we got back in touch again, and then ever since that, I mean, this is now 20 plus years, we're all in each other's lives, and I go there and they come here. And my sister has two kids, and one of them, my nephew, has three boys now. So I have my nephew has three boys, and then, you know, her daughter, and then my sister who's 3 years younger than me has three kids.
Damn.
My youngest sister has two kids, three and a half and two and a half. But so I have all these nieces and nephews, but I'm the only one, you know, without any kids yet.
Right.
Yeah.
Who did you live with when your parents split? Was it 50-50 or?
No, I live with my mom, and it was kind of like, okay, because like we lived in these these garden apartments.
I know the garden apartments.
You know what it is.
Yeah, I know
and
the
so
garden
apartments. So my dad apartment. Had like three jobs. He was like a sanitation worker for New York City, but he was also the superintendent of all those apartments.
Okay.
So he, because of that, had rent free. So then we moved into the building just right next to his.
Okay, so he still had him right there.
And he was around the corner, so I would see him. But like we would go every Sunday to be with him. And then when we got a little older, we switched it to every other weekend, and we'd stay with him for the weekend. And then in like 92, my mom got remarried in 90. She was remarried for 4 years. I didn't really like the guy. And so I moved in with my dad when I was like 16.
And what was that like?
It was great, you know, just great. And then I lived with him until like I moved out of the house, which was like in my early 20s or whatever.
It is a hectic time of the year. You got graduations, weddings, spring sports, and more. We're all busier than ever right now. And with work, friends, family, a million pressing social issues, it can feel like there's an expectation to be on 24/7. And sometimes we forget to take a second for ourselves. So this season, take a second to enjoy an ice cold Coors Light, because you deserve a beer that's made to chill. It is my absolute favorite light beer. It's been my favorite light beer since I was in high school. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way you always know when it's time to chill. And when you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies, perfect for a moment to unwind. When I need to take a second for myself, you know I'm reaching for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/honeydew. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly. If you're smoking cannabis, there is a way to cough less and enjoy chilly smoke with zero chest or throat burn. And the solution is a Freeze Pipe. Freeze Pipe makes a unique line of freezable pipes, bubblers, bongs, and more. And the secret is freezable glycerin chambers on every piece. You pop one of these glycerin chambers in your freezer for about an hour, and the smoke passes through the icy chamber. It's instantly chilled for a bigger, colder, and smoother hit. I've been using mine nonstop, and I love it. I'm coughing barely at all. I love joints, but the paper makes me cough. That's for real. Freeze Pipes founders were tired of overpaying for pipes and bongs at local head shops. And with the state-of-the-art glycerin coils and water filtration, Freeze Pipes pieces cool smoke by over 300 degrees. Most people report they cough way less with Freeze Pipe, but everyone reports it's the nicest cannabis smoking experience they've ever had. If you're tired of burning throats or coughing too much when you light up, visit thefreezepipe.com and use code HONEYDEW for 10% off. That's thefreezepipe.com. Use code HONEYDEW for 10% off and say goodbye to harsh cannabis smoke. You don't have to choose between better hair growth and your health. There's a holistic solution for men that promotes both healthier hair and whole body wellness. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, clinically shown to improve your hair growth, thickness, and visible scalp coverage. Nutrafol goes beyond genetics to multi-target the root causes of thinning. Physician formulated using natural medical grade ingredients, Nutrafol's drug-free patented technology provides consistent, reliable results without compromising your sexual health. In a clinical study, men show progressive improvement in hair growth and thickness after 3 and 6 months. Nutrafol is also trusted and recommended by more than 3,000 top doctors. You can grow thicker, healthier hair and support the show by going to Nutrafol.com/men and entering the promo code HONEYDEW to save $15 off your first month subscription. This is their best offer anywhere, and it's only available to U.S. customers for a limited time. Plus, you're getting free shipping on every order. Get $15 off at Nutrafol.com/men. That's spelled Nutrafol.com/men. Promo code HONEYDEW. Now, let's get back to the dew.
And you still have a good relationship with both your parents?
Oh, the best ever.
Yeah.
My dad is my best. My dad was, you know, he's my best friend, you know, like my mom too. My mom talked to my mom every single day.
Have you been able to tell your mom you weren't crazy about that dude?
I told her like that. I told her at the wedding. I was like, ding, 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 ding. I want to just say a few things.
I got a lot of shit.
He was a tool, man. And that ended. He didn't treat her good. He wasn't a good dude. If he's watching, and maybe he is, I mean, I hope you've come a long way, but.
You're so nice, dude. I hope you've come a long way.
But yeah, so that was like, you know, my mom's great. My mom, I've never ever. This is nuts. It's going to sound nuts. And it's not even in an overbearing way. It's just a cool check-in way. But I've never had a show, even spots, where my mom didn't text me at the beginning of the night, good luck with your spots. And then after, like, or the next day, be like, how was your show last night? Before and after. I'm talking 2,000 show, whatever yeah. We do. Before and after. Spots, tour, anything. It's break a leg right before showtime every night. And then that night or the next morning, how are your shows?
Man, you talk about someone who's supportive as fuck.
Yeah. I'm
trying to think how many times my mom has done it. Oh, zero. It's absolutely
not. My dad doesn't really do it. He's not good with text, you know.
Still, what a mom.
Yeah, but sometimes it could be a little too much. Not that, but like, right. You know, she's also like, how do I work the remote? And I'm just like, I can't today.
Yeah.
You know, the remote, you know, you've been using it for a while. You know, sometimes I'm like, my, you got to figure that out.
So we were talking before the show and you said that you have crippling anxiety.
Yeah.
Where do you think it comes from? And just describe what anxiety is like for you. Because I know for everyone it's different.
Yeah, it's like a mix of anxiety and depression, I guess. I really don't know where it comes from. So not particularly my mom's parents, but my dad's mother, my grandma Rose, was a worrier by nature, worried about everything. Wonderful lady. She was like the mayor of our little neighborhood. She'd be like, sit outside. People waved at my grandpa, my mom's side, and my grandma, my dad's side were the mayors of the town. But she was always worry. And my dad is a worrier. And my mom, even though they weren't really worriers, she is too. And I always was like, oh God, it's so much worrying, but I think it's inevitable. Like I'm a worrier, and I compared to them, I was always like, look, I see what they, how they are, and I'm not going to necessarily be that way. But then you just start being that way, you know? So I worry a lot too. And I guess I get maybe anxiety from that.
What worries you? What do you think about daily? Like what's getting at you?
The number one thing that I like go to therapy about, and the number one thing that gets to me all the time is death. The thought of death of my loved ones, predominantly my parents, and then, you know, people like my girl I'm in a relationship with, or like, you know, just the day that comes, or myself, like what that moment's going to be like, how it's going to happen, when it's going to happen. I'm so tight. My family's tight, you know, I'm so tight. And I just can't imagine. I cannot imagine a world without them. And I just start to sit there and think about, like, it's weird. I, like, you know, you can choose what to focus on, but I have, like, diagnosed, like, ADHD. I know people say that, but I have it, like, diagnosed, and a little bit of OCD. And it is, like, I lived with it for so long, and I didn't understand that, like, that wasn't normal.
The thinking about death?
Thinking about everything, like obsessiveness. Okay. And but death is a big one. And but just the obsessiveness, like, you know. Gotcha. And I I'm not able to focus on anything, and I'm not able to complete tasks, and I'm not able to remember anything. It's a really weird thing. Like, it scares the shit out of me. I'll walk into a room, forget why I walked into it. I'll start a sentence sometimes, especially when I'm overstimulated or I have a lot on my mind, and I won't remember what I was going to say or do. And I'll, like, be talking to my girlfriend, and I'll be like, you know, and I'll just be like, I forgot. So if anyone, I live and die by this. So if you say to me something right there and I got to remember it, I write it down.
Same.
I could open up my notes. There's 100 notes. Every note is 100 pages. They're broken down to, I live my life with lists, categories. I have priority lists, secondary lists. I got a tertiary list. I have, like, all right, this person's name, what things I need to speak to them about. This person things I need to, like, everything you can think of. And I have to look at it. Otherwise I won't remember. And I went and I got tested, and they were like, oh, you have, like, severe. And they gave me, what's it called? Time released to be hyper aware.
Not Ritalin. Oh, shit.
Whatever it is. You know what
it is. Yeah, I do know what you're talking about. Like, yeah, the opposite one.
It's like speed, dude.
For adults, it's speed. And for kids, it slows them down.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And they gave me that.
Adderall.
Yeah. And I don't really fuck with, like, I'm afraid of, like, prescription stuff and all that stuff. But I said, I don't do this kind of stuff. And I said, I won't do it. You know, and he goes, just do it on days you feel you need the help and then days you're overwhelmed.
Oh, you can do that? Adderall's a...
That's what they told me. So
Adderall's an at-use.
I waited. And then I had a day. And it took a while. And I took the first time. And I guess it was a time release. They gave me the wrong dose. And they gave a time release. Dude, I was up for 48 hours. It's a stereotype, though. I cleaned the whole house. I was sweating. My heart was pounding. I knew that it was happening. Like, I was like, this is like cocaine. It must be. I never did coke. I was like, this must be what it's like. My girl went to bed. I was drenched in sweat. Walking around the house, scrubbing stuff, cleaning, doing things. And I guess... in that respect. But then I was like, I'm going to crash at some point. I didn't crash that night. I was like, I'm going to crash the next afternoon. I didn't crash. Didn't crash the next night. I went to sleep the following night at like 4 a.m.
Off that one pill.
Off the one pill. And I woke her up in the middle of the night. I'm like, my heart is beating out of my chest. And that was it. I never did that ever again. And I told my doctor recently, because that was like 6-7 years ago. And he was like, man, he goes, they gave you the wrong thing, the wrong dose. We could work with this, you know? So he was like, we're going to work with, I said, I have depression and anxiety and I have this ADHD, and they both play into each other because I can't get anything done. And he's like, we got to treat one at a time. So he's like, which one do you want to treat first? Because they do play into each other. So we started to treat the anxiety first. So I did go on medication for that. So I went on that like maybe like 6-8 months ago, maybe whatever it is now. And it has helped. It has helped. And now that's leveled out. And now I'm going to try to treat the ADHD. But dude, death. I just start thinking of, I focus on such sad shit. I just, because you think about.
Have you never experienced a major death in your family?
So I've had three of my grandparents pass.
Okay.
And I've had my best friend, one of my best friends in the world pass. So those were the big ones for me. And then I've had some like really crazy stuff, like, you know, other than that. But I just, like, if you think about life, it's so sad because when you're on the way out, that, you know, that old, it's like, you know, you revert back to a child that to be taken care of.
Diapers, people you know, have to wipe you.
And if you can't get at-home care, and then all of a sudden you're, and that shit is lonely. That happened to, you know, my one grandpa died suddenly from an axe, and he hit his head, and he was on blood thinners, and we didn't know. And that was, he went before his time.
Oh, he bled out?
And that was super tragic. He internally bled, but when we found him, they had to put him on, like, you know, life support, and then there was nothing, no coming back. His wife, my grandma, was in 85, smoked her whole life, was danced the night away every night. Then one day she had a mini stroke. She went to the hospital and then she was there for a few weeks and it was like in and out. And then she came to and we were going to get her home and it happened again. And then we lost her. But like right before that happened, there was nothing. She was in perfect, you know? And then my other grandpa, who's like one of my best friends, I saw him live out the life in a nursing home. And I was a person who would see my grandparents at minimum once a week. I lived with them growing up for a while. Really, really close with them.
We are so similar, yeah.
Yeah. You know, so I would go visit him and he would, and I would look at him and just be like, nobody's here right now. Like we could only come in shifts when people have lives. And he's laying there bedridden and I would go see him. And another thing that happens, I hate this, but like you lose, you know, your memory, you know, you start getting this dementia, you start getting all this stuff. And I'm seeing it. I have one grandma still alive. She's 90 or 93. We're not sure.
Why three? I get one.
Yeah. She's 90 or 93. Well, because she has a her birth certificate says something different than like photos we found on the back with dates on them. And back then, you know, so, and she's still cool. She's still with it and everything, but she's, her short-term memory is gone. So And it's gotten worse over the last year, significant. So I'll talk to her, and then she'll forget like something that I asked her. Like, and I've seen that happen, but it's the saddest thing to me because the thing that we have to take with us is our memory. So I look at my grandma, I feel so bad because I love her so much, but she doesn't remember anything. Like she came to see me at the Beacon Theater like a couple of weeks ago.
That's nice.
And she won't really remember that. But at least she was there, you know, but it's so depressing, you know? And then I'm like, that's where we're all going. That's where I'm going. It's like, what, at the end, what do we have? Even if you were supported and loved and lived this life with all these experiences, there's going to be a day that you're just laying there and people see you in shifts here and there and you just sit in that, man. And then you start forgetting stuff. And my grandpa, we would go see him and then he'd be like, kind of had to remember who you were. And that's crushing because he's like my bestie, you know, and like to be like, sometimes he would always remember, but you know, and I would, you know, he would tell me like, I hate this life. This is not a life. I just want to go, you know. It's so sad to hear. And then when I had to leave, I would just sit there by his side. Like I would go at least once a week, but he was in another state. So I would drive this and I would see him like once a week and I'd just go in there. I'd sit down with him, bring him like his favorite foods and stuff. And I would just sit there and like try to talk to him. I would remind him of all the stories he would tell me, which he didn't remember anymore. Nice. And that's crushing because my grandparents were all storytellers. And we would listen for hours. They had a million stories and I would try to get him to jog his memory, tell him his stories back. But
that's why I'm glad we have this.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've always told my daughter's mother, if something ever happens to me, you tell her to listen to every episode of The Crab Feast and every episode of The Honeydew, and she'll know exactly who her father was.
I know. And I started to, this affected me a long time. So I started doing these things where I'd set up tripods and I would like start talking to my grandparents and I started taking down notes about our family tree because I wanted to like go back and figure out where I came from and all that stuff. And so I started those projects, but now I'm like, no, I'm going to do this thing where I'm going to either write or film myself telling all the stories to a camera so that my kids or their kids. And then I just, you know, so all that stuff gets to me so much. And I'm like, I don't want to see my parents go through that. I don't want to go through that.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I focus on that shit. And I'm like, I cannot imagine a day. You know, until I think I'm having, I think it's more of a midlife kind of thing. And I don't think that the pandemic helped because it for me,
hurt
it threw
a lot of people.
I'm already that all day, every day. And it amplified it times 10.
I'm sure.
And I'm thinking, oh my God, like anything can happen to my parents right this second. And I don't have any kids yet. And then I started thinking, oh man, I waited way too long because I want my parents to know my kids, you know, and I'm not going to have that, or I might not have a lot of that. And then I'm like, wait a minute. I'm not going to have a long, I'm 45 already. You know, by the time I have a kid, you know, if I had a kid at, you know, 25, I'd be with this kid, my children 20 years already. And that is the most important thing. And I've always wanted kids, right? So now I'm like, damn, when I'm like, I do the math. When I'm like 70, my kid's going to be, you know, it's like, I'm going to be the old dad. So I have a little regret that way. Although, you know, you can't change anything. But I really, really focus on that stuff, man. And I just like...
Where do you think that comes from? Why? What makes your brain turn to death?
I don't know. I had my...
Versus work. You know what I mean? A lot of people freak out about their employment or their careers or whatever. What is
that
it about
always
death?
Worried me too, but I never really had... Like I was never had money. My parents didn't come from money. Working class family. My dad had multiple jobs. My mom was at home with us. You know, we were on like government assistance here and there, even like this. So, you know, but we always had a roof over our heads. We always had food. We always fine. They treat us. We always had good Christmases and, you know, close with our relatives. But I don't know. But like, I just was a good saver. Like something about work didn't just bother me. I never had trouble. I started working when I was 14 years old, you know, like, but I don't know. I just think I have maybe, I've never really talked about my parents getting divorced, but like, I know that I don't really extrapolate. Maybe it's the fact that I don't know. I hate change.
Do you?
And since I was a kid, I have a lot of trouble with change.
Well, maybe, Sal, there's something to the fact that work, you know, these other things you can do something about. Death's undefeated.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Like, there's nothing you can
really
do to
actually
avoid it.
Really on point because I have no control. And that's the thing. I'm that type of person that has to have control. I want everyone I know to be taken care of.
Healthy, good.
Everything. And I go nuts. And it makes me feel good, but that's who I am. And so, like, you're right. Like, people have said that to me before. It's like,
it's like a codependency.
You can't control it.
Did you do that as a kid with your mom and dad, trying to bounce back and forth, making sure they were always?
Always, man. Like, I just always have been like that. So, you know, I start focusing on that, and I cannot turn my mind off of it, dude.
And
because
I'm going to
have ADHD and stuff, I have these things they call them loops. Like I'll wake up one day and I'll have a song in my head. Now, sometimes a song is whatever. It's any song. But it can get very, very annoying. But I'm telling you, like, it'll loop in my head through a day or 2 days or a week, the same thing. And I have to think.
Do you then put it on too?
No. I have to think of something else.
Okay.
So I'll think of another song so that I can just switch songs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, think about it if a song was playing all day. Yeah. You'd be like, yo, I'm going to find the artist and kill them.
Kill them.
But I'll do that with thoughts, you know? And so once I get into a rut like that, I can't get out of it. And I get so sad, you know? And I'm just like, you know, I'm such a happy-go-lucky person. I'm a hearty laugher.
I think a lot of people are going to be surprised by hearing this about you because you are a hearty laugher. Like when I see I smile.
When I see my friends, like I laugh hard. When I go see, when I'm in the back of the room and my friend's on stage, I've heard their jokes 100 times. I laugh so hard, but from a real place.
Real place.
I just love to laugh.
Yeah,
I'm a laugher.
It makes me feel great.
Yeah. And that's how I am. I'm like this, like, God, like this, that's how, you know, but then I got this, the exact opposite of that is like, I've so sad, you know, a lot. So like,
so you mentioned you lost a best friend.
Yeah.
So how does all of this worrying about death then end up playing into that?
It was
like, is this something you saw unexpected?
Yeah. Well, he was sick. He beat cancer, and then he had all sorts of trouble, like ulcerative colitis, and he had all these health issues. And then
already, or because of
it was post the cancer.
Okay.
Then the cancer came back, and then he did beat it again, I believe. And then, you know, and then he was just in very, very bad health. And he's a young kid. He passed away like in his mid 30s. You know, this was 11 years ago, and he was a year older than me. He was like one of my, you know, biggest supporters. He was able to see the pilot of the television show.
All right.
Before him. And she's the first person I showed it to. And he came to every show I've ever had. He laughed the loudest.
What was his name? Take your time.
Yeah. Doug. So it's hard to lose a support system like that. And he's a buddy who despite all of his troubles and health, he never complained at all. And he's the guy that like would text you every, like randomly, just want to let you know, I love you and stuff. So he's very giving like that. I see him. He's always thinking of people, always, you know, did stuff for people. So just a wonderful person. And it's tough to lose him. I had to, you know, speak at the funeral and stuff, to wake and everything. And I have this lyrics on my arm that a song reminds me of him.
What is it?
We used to go out. We were young. We used to go out and party and stuff like that. And we went to all these phases. And there was one phase we went out where we would go to these like clubs in the city. When we were 20, we'd go out all night and all that stuff. And he loved music. He had, you know, back when, you know, when that person with a record collection,
yeah,
the wall in his room, like bigger than this from the top to the bottom, he had about like, I'm not kidding, like a few thousand CDs, and he would make mixtapes to everyone all the time, records and all this stuff, a wall of records. And so he loved like DJing and stuff. He wasn't a DJ per se, but this song by Fatboy Slim, Praise You.
Yeah.
And it's from this old song by Camille Yardbar. It says that there's a really slow, soulful version of that.
And, is that right?
Oh, it's so good. Okay. Yeah. But he, you know, Fatboy Slim, it was really like he redid it in a way. And it's just the words. It's just the words, you know, that of the chorus is like, you know, come a long way together through hard times, mm-hmm. good, celebrate you. And he loved that song. And like, it would just make him happy. And so I always thought of it, you know. And so when he passed, all of us got it. All our friends got it. And, you know, and then. Yeah. So, but, you know, that was really tough to deal with, because I found out it was like unexpected. And I found out via text, unfortunately,
that he was gone.
Yeah.
Oh no. So you didn't even get the,
no, I mean, I was gonna go, like, literally I found out like, and a group of people went to go see him, and I couldn't. And so I didn't, and I regret that. But yeah, but it was like, it was just, but I already felt with the death stuff like before that.
That's
was just
what I'm like, saying. That was a You've wallop. Already been, yeah.
That was just a wallop.
So then it hit you like that.
Yeah. And I just start thinking, and you know what? I think it's a midlife thing. Because you don't think about this stuff, right? You start to like, I'm like, oh my God, I'm the age of my grandparents when I was like, you start looking at pictures and be like, they were my, but it's like, you're young, right? And it's, you're invincible.
I don't ever think of dying when I'm in the back of a pickup truck in a lawn chair. Right. Going 50 fucking miles
right,
an hour.
Right, exactly. You know,
I never one time
not at
worried
all.
About fuck. Now I'm like, I
have my grandparents so late, knock on wood, even though I lost, you know, before the day, but I didn't, you don't think of it. And then I don't think of losing my parents, but then now they just passed into this. Like my dad is 76, my mom is 72. And I think the pandemic, like a couple things happened. Like for the first time in my life, I saw myself start to age, and some of my friends, mm-hmm. like I see us starting to age a little bit. And I see for the first time in my life, my parents start to age. And I never really see that. And so it's kind of like when I look at them, you just see them becoming a little bit more, you see it. You see the, in their physicality, in their demeanor, you know, you just see it and you're like, oh, whoa. Like I never even put my mind there, even though I do. But like, you know, now
not
it's
like
now you're like, you look at it and you're like, it's right there. And you're like, we've have moved into another phase.
You know what really sucks? Getting in the zone on the treadmill or pushing to finish that last rep, and then your earbuds fall out of your ears. The music stops. Your pumped up mood is gone. I've been sitting on the airplane just trying to watch some shows while I'm flying around to see you guys. And boom, they're out. And now I'm reaching back by somebody's bare feet. That's why Raycon's new fitness earbuds provide a maximum secure fit, so you'll never experience that again. Raycon's fitness earbuds help you take your workout to the next level with the power of premium sound and smart tech. That's why they were featured in Esquire magazine's Best Gadgets of 2021. They were voted Best Earbud of the Year. I've been telling you. They were developed and tested to stay in your ear during the toughest of workouts. These earbuds deliver maximum comfort, stability, and the most secure fit on the market. Plus, they offer unbeatable battery life, 9 hours of playtime, and 52 hours of battery total, nearly double the battery life of the other brands on the market. Raycon's customers love them. They've given the product over 37,000 five-star reviews. Now is the perfect time to pick up a pair, because right now you can get Raycon's fitness earbuds for $20 off at buyraycon.com/honeydew. And to make this deal even sweeter, my viewers get an extra 15% off with my code honeydew. This is a limited time offer, so get in now before it's gone. That's code honeydew at buyraycon.com/honeydew. You've probably heard the housing market is a mess. Rising mortgage rates, bidding wars, and prices are still at record highs and rising. And first-time home buyers do not stand a chance by themselves. But the good news, there's a podcast that cares about helping people navigate the entire home buying process. It's called How to Buy a Home. Host David Sidoni is an industry expert with years of experience who saw the opportunity for first-time home buyers to take advantage of the crazy market. And since then, the How to Buy a Home podcast has helped listeners close on houses they thought were impossible, even as things went bonkers in 21 and 2022. David has made buying their first home a reality for so many people. And I'm telling you, I know it to be a fact because when I was on the road at Minnesota, this couple came up to me and they're like, we just bought our first house because of you telling us about the How to Buy a Home podcast. That's for real. And I was like, are you the couple we mentioned in the ad? And they're like, nope, we're another one. So boom, it's happening out there. And David can help you no matter what stage you're in. He can even connect you with the great realtor in your area. So start your path today with the How to Buy a Home podcast and make this the last year you rent. Listen to the How to Buy a Home podcast today. Find How to Buy a Home on YouTube and wherever you listen to podcasts. Now, let's get back to the do.
I want to say I know exactly what you mean because I was at the 50th anniversary at the Comedy Store. And I saw a lot of older comedians, and I wouldn't say they're that old, but yeah, they're older, trembling. And yeah, I'm just looking, I was like, man, is that the alcohol and the drugs, or is that just what this life of what we do and how we eat and all this bullshit does to us? Like, how long before we start fucking trembling and everything else? And I see guys like, I mean, I'm a big Baltimore Oriole fan even still, but Brooks Robinson's birthday was the other day, and I look at a guy, like this old footage of this dude diving and grabbing everything, and now he can barely raise his hand to say hello. And I'm like, I was never in that kind of shape in my 20s. What am I going to be like in my 70s?
I know, dude.
If I get there.
I know. Oh, yeah. Forget
if
it.
If I get there.
I know. And my parents are in good. My dad's in good shape. You know, he's you know, had a couple of, he had an open heart surgery, but he's young at heart. He's going to the gym his whole life. He eats healthy. He doesn't drink or smoke. You know, my mom is they're still fully, you know, all good, but I just can't, you know, like, I just am like, oh, I'm not never going to be, you're never going to be prepared for this.
Never.
And you just think of your life, and it's weird. You tend not to go that far ahead. And now all I'm doing is thinking ahead, because the older I get, the faster time has been going. And that's just how it works. I hear my dad saying getting old sucks, this, that, and the other. Now,
well,
start to think about what that means.
You think about, you mentioned being an older dad, and when you have a kid, and that's what they say. If you want to know how the passing of time, if you really want to understand it, have a kid.
Yeah.
And then you're just like, you're five?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, man, what the fuck? You're five?
Right.
Yeah.
So I just, you know, I just think, and I whenever my mind goes to, it's so sad, right? There's going to be a half of my life. It hasn't started yet, but like, I hope it's as long, but there'll be a half of my life that my parents are gone and they don't know the end of my story, which is such common sense, right? But I never think about it that way. And then I said, oh man, I'm going to have a kid one day and there's going to be 50 years of their life or 40 years of their life that I will not know about. Like 40 years of the most important person in my life that I won't get to see or know about. And that kind of like broad feeling is what I walk around with. So it's common sense stuff, but when I stop to think about it, it's so sad, you know?
It is.
And it's like, all right, you know, that's fucking life, dude. But life is fucking sad. It's like, I got to force myself to like think about the positives, because for me, it can be just doom and gloom sometimes, you know? And we're comics, and I got to go on TV and like, I got to check that shit. We got to go on stage and check that shit, you know? And sometimes it's like, I'm carrying that with me underneath, you know? And it's like, everyone does, but
that's
like
what shows like this are for, though. You finally get to fucking talk about
it. But it's crazy. People don't think like that.
I haven't thought of that.
I feel like I'm crazy, but
dude,
I'm like,
you just hit my dad died at 42. I was 16.
Yeah.
I am 49. 33 years of his son's life, he has no
idea about. They don't know the story.
And I'm thinking over
the,
yeah.
They don't know your story. They don't know what comes of you. And I'm looking at my parents now.
If life goes the way it should go,
yeah,
then you're right. We don't know right? what becomes like, so of
it's
our just, own
that's
kids.
The way it's supposed to go.
That's the way
and
it's supposed to go.
Every moment of my life, I know. I've had them with me. They've supported me. They know everything about me.
Texting you right before. You're going to have one day.
And then,
you're not going to have
like,
that.
And then, you know, who knows how. But then that's it. They're only going to know up to a certain point, and then that's it. And then that me with my kids, and I'm just like, dude, how do you not think about that? Like, how do you not think about
right,
that?
How do
you know,
shut
like,
that
I understand,
off.
Like, be in the moment and meditate and the fucking the power of now and you know, like,
monkey taps.
All this stuff. Yeah, okay. Okay, fine. But, like, I don't know. I keep going. I have to keep course correcting. And yeah.
Have you thought of the night that you won't get the text for the first time ever before you're walking on stage? Does that go, like, what? I don't want to call them fantasies.
Yeah.
But
no,
what
I go there.
Sort of,
I think about when, how. I always think about would I want to know if I could know or not. You know, I guess not.
You mean ahead of time?
Yeah, like I get you know that's fantasy. Like, sure. Would you want to know how you're going and how when and everything? Yeah. And I guess no, because without that, then I could at least have hope. You know what I mean, like that. But like, I don't know how to lose like that kind of love. Crazy. I think about it all the time.
Well, you don't. It gets taken. You don't lose. Yeah. You don't lose it. It gets taken.
Yeah, man. So yeah. I feel like, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's trite what I'm saying, but like I just.
No.
Yeah.
So that's, you really struggle with that, huh?
Really bad.
That's a daily fight for you.
Daily. Yeah.
So, all right.
At any time, too. And when I think about it, I get emotional. Like, I'm trying to work on it, but I'm a guy who will be like, you know, in walking down the street or talking, and I get something like something that hits me, and I'm like, oh shit, and I gotta literally hold back.
Do you know what gets me?
You know, and it's that happens to people. I don't know.
It happens to me. Yeah. I do meet and greets, and the one that gets me the most.
When people tell me their stories, and I start
that gets
bawling.
Me. But here's the one that gets me. Because again, my father was my best friend. I lose him. I'm 16. Here comes.
I can't imagine.
And then a kid is like, I brought my dad tonight. And I'm like, oh, guys, let's get a picture. You know, they're like ah. Yeah. I'm like, I'm so, every time it's like, hey, this is my son. We came together. I'm like, this, you guys came to a comedy show together tonight to see me? And they're like, yeah. And I was like,
oh
man.
Shit.
They it gets me every
I got a funny story.
Time.
You just remind me of, I'm a wrestling fan. When I was like, it was like, yeah, I want to say at this point, it was maybe almost 20 years ago, 15, 20 years ago. Rowdy Roddy Piper had a book come out, and he's doing an autograph signing in Times Square. Me and my buddy Brian Quinn from the show, we went to go wait, and we waited on this line to meet him. And he's taking his time with everybody. We waited an hour, took a couple hours, whatever, and it's Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Fuck
right?
Yeah.
So he has his son with him, and his son is an adult. Son's like 20 years old, whatever he was. And he's taking the time. You see him talking to people. Like, he's not rushing it. He's looking at them. He's really, like, giving people attention. His son's there. And I was like, wow, it's something to see. And it was cool that his son was there. So I get up there, and I'm like, oh, I'm such a big, you know, huge fan. You know, I said, I just, you know, I was like, me and my dad, like, we, you know, there were a few memories I have and a few things we bonded over when I was a little kid that I'll always take away. And one was he brought me to WrestleMania 2. And this is when, you know, Roddy Piper, it was, they split it up into three, like Chicago, Nassau Coliseum, whatever, and there was three main events. And my main event was Roddy Piper boxing Mr. T.
Oh, yeah.
And so my dad, we got these nosebleeds, but he said, we're going down. And he put me on his shoulders, and we snuck in, and we went right up to the front, and I had a Polaroid, and I'm on his shoulders, and I'm taking Polaroids, and it's just a memory. So I was telling him that, and I'm like, you know, so you, like, it's one of my fondest memories of my father comes from you. And he looks at me and he starts crying. Roddy Piper. His eyes fill with tears, and he starts crying, and he gives me a hug, and his son's right there, and he hears it, and he looks at his son, and he looks at me, and I was like, oh my God. And he starts crying. So I was like, I got teary eyed. And I start crying, like, he hugs me, and I'm like, yeah, man, you know, it's just really nice. And he goes, I'm so sorry. When did we lose dad? He's crying, and I'm crying. I go, oh, my dad's in the car. I said, no, my dad's home. My dad's home. It was so awkward. I felt so. And I felt so weird. I was almost going to be like, last year? You know, like, I almost lied about my dad because I was like, how do I tell him that? Like, it was a miscommunication. You know, like, and we were crying. Last. So then to tell him, like, all's fine. And we still had the tears going down the face and everything. It was such a funny moment. I should talk about that on stage. I never did.
You should. Yeah. Dude. Oh, that's too much. All right. So here's what I want to ask you, because I know people want to know. You said you do therapy, medication, like,
yeah.
But what brings you joy then? Like, where? All right, let me ask you this way. For me, whenever I set foot on stage, I don't care how long the set is, 10, 15, an hour,
You're somewhere else.
Everywhere, every time. Fucking time. Like, when I get off stage, I'm like, I can't believe I didn't think about splitting up with my daughter's mom tonight. What the fuck? So.
Yeah. Well, that's the exercise we do, right? Because it comes across, like, to be in the moment every night. Plus,
and
we
can't
have to
do stand up. It's true. But you can't always do stand up to make yourself feel better. So what else do you do?
Yeah. I mean, not just family and friends. Yeah, I know that sounds like a lame thing, but like, it's everything.
Do you hang out with them? Everything or like cookouts? Or what are we talking?
God. Like, for years, I had standing reservations where my nieces would come to my house once a week for a sleepover.
Oh, hell
like,
yeah.
I'm not in tune with it. Like, I helped. My nieces and nephews are like my children. I'm that close. Like, I know a lot of times that, unfortunately, like, I realize that not every aunt, uncle, niece, nephew situation is like that, but they're like my kids. I'm the godfather to every one of them. I have like 9 godchildren.
That's great.
That, you know, it's, and yeah, I'm just so being with my family. And then just like, you know, just my friends, you know, like when I'm with buddies and stuff, it lifts my, like, that's one thing my girl tells me all the time. Like, when I'm down, she's like, call, you know, go into the city, you know, go see your friends, like, you know, go do a set, go hang with, a lot of my friends are comics, you know, like, obviously, but it's just like, you know, it's just something that, like, on being on stage just gets my mind away from it, you know? And, you know, so just that kind of thing. I mean, I started to, like, I know I'm going to try. I keep saying this my whole life, but I'm not a gym guy. And I'm not an exercise guy per se, as you can clearly see. But I did for a few projects in here, I would go to the gym, like, you know, for 6 months, and I had like a trainer, and I felt that natural high that you feel. So that would really helpful.
And, what about just walking with some
– a walk, dude, taking a – you're right.
Put just some earbuds in and just don't listen to podcasts.
No.
Get away from it.
A walk on foot. A walk,
music
a
that makes
riding.
You feel good. Yes.
You know what the absolute number one thing is, that it's like a natural remedy for my entire, like, is swimming, is just being in a bot and being in water. And
are you a Pisces?
I'm not. I'm a Scorpio, but my entire life, I didn't have a pool growing up, but my favorite thing to do is to go in a pool. And like, whenever I get a chance to go in a pool, I don't come out. And I'm not even making a joke. Like, it's my friends and family know this. Like, if I have a pool, if I'm in a pool situation, I will go in a pool for 8 hours. I won't come out. Won't come out. Everyone gets out, parties, whatever. I stay in the pool alone. And it wasn't until recently that I was talking to my girlfriend. I was like, you know what? Like, I think I know what it is. Like, it's something so calming about the being in the body of water. It slows everything down for
everything.
Me.
I'm
and it's
with
like
you on that,
that thing. Like, when we're on stage, it's like just in the moment. It slows
also
my
you
mind
feel
down.
Feel this embrace around you. You know, I wonder if it's not going back to all the way being in the fucking womb and shit. You know what I mean?
So someone told me that recently.
I wonder.
Someone was like, "Dude, that is where you came from, and that's what's the most calming thing." They just said that, but it is. It's like my mind's going a mile a minute at all times.
But are you creating? In the water?
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Do you have good ideas?
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's like meditating. Long showers? It's like meditating. I take long. My ideas come in the pool, in the shower, and maybe like laying down to go to sleep.
Dude,
driving in the car, I don't listen to the radio.
Same.
I let my mind go.
I want to say I'm definitely creative in water, showers, driving, but laying down to go to sleep. But I mean, it is, and this is the torture of it, and that's why I live by this.
Well, go to sleep is bad though too.
Right before, as I'm falling, as I'm drifting into sleep. All of a sudden, it's like ding, 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 ding. I'm like, God damn it! But they're good.
Oh, so not so. So, mine's either way with the sleep. So a lot of times I'll lay down and I think, you know what it is? When I go to lay down, I know I'm like, all right, I'm about to go to bed. Don't think of anything. Don't think of anything. But now my brain is trained to lay down and go, okay, don't think of anything. And so when you say don't think of anything, you immediately think of all the things you don't want to think about.
Sure.
And so I'm trained when my head hits the pillow to be like, I'm forcing the bad thoughts out and I don't always win. So then sometimes I'll be laying there just thinking about bad stuff when I'm trying to go to sleep. But like when I am distracted, I'm trying to go, or in the middle of the night, I'll wake up with material and write it down. You know, like that's how your brain just opens up. You know what I mean? So I think it's like a form of meditation for me. So that's like swimming, riding a bike, things like that. Or one form of really good therapy that I did like last year was I was having a real tough time with the pandemic and everything. And I hadn't listened to like music really loud. And I live in an apartment building, so I don't really like, can't blast it. I got in my car. I lowered all the windows. I got on the highway and I turned the thing up to like as high as it can go. And I drove for like 2 hours and I just screamed the music. And I was literally singing, you know, I was thinking of certain things and I just wanted to get those feelings out. And I was putting on these like songs because certain songs trigger like
we'll
things. And if they're the ones that get into the loop, that's bad news because they bring me right back to a moment. If I can't get that song in my head, I can't get the moment out of my head.
You walk outside right now and a car rides by. What's the song that would get you?
There's so many, dude. There's so many. Oh God. I mean, there's so many, and some are obvious because by nature they're sad, and some aren't, but they're just they would make me bring to that place. But like if I listen to like Yesterday by Ray Charles version of Yesterday, or oh my God, it sounds like I don't have. There's so many though.
Let me ask you this: you want to be a dad, so let's be positive. When you're a dad, are there thoughts right now that you want to? Help how you could help your kid not be like this? Are you scared you're going to pass the worry gene?
I hope not.
On to your kid.
I'm so excited. That's the job of my life, right? The legacy of my life. I'm so excited to have a kid one day and then just be able to make them a good human being. You know, like I'm going to try and shield them from that stuff for sure, you know, but like I'm really excited to, you know, that's going to be the relationship that's like, you know.
I had a conversation with my daughter just last night, actually, and we were laying in bed, and sometimes she's scared to sleep in her own bed, you know, and I was like, well, you can stay with me, you know, and she's like, I want to be a big girl. I want to be like the kids in my class. I'm like, listen, don't. I go, not everybody in your class can swim. You can swim. You know what I mean? I go, don't compare yourself to other people, and being different is good. Trust me. I said, I used to sit there and worry about the same thing you're worrying about right now, and I want to tell you it's all bullshit. Be you. There's only one you. Everybody else is taken, and be the best one of you you can be, period. That's all you got to be.
Yeah.
You know?
That's great.
Sounds like you had good parents, though.
Yeah. I mean, they weren't always that directly expressive.
I don't think anybody of our – we are a different generation men than our dads were.
Yeah.
Our dads fucked without condoms, didn't give a shit. We're the age generation, bro. We're scared of sex. Yeah. They weren't scared of sex.
Right.
They're doing everybody.
Don't go to therapy. They didn't like communicate like that. Now, the love was there.
You
know, the larger top line lessons were there.
I think we're the first generation of fathers to actually say, I love you, go to therapy. Speaking of which, have you ever tried EMDR?
My family very much love you. Yeah, I do it. I did it. And it actually, I had a friend recommend it to me because I had some trauma to deal with. And I was like, look, I go to regular therapy, but they were like, this is different. I'm telling you, I turned a lot of people onto it. And I said, I looked it up. I found somebody. I went. It worked.
It does.
And it blew me away that it worked.
It worked this fast.
And I couldn't tell.
Too.
It worked relatively fast. Mm-hmm. And I turned other people onto it and it worked relatively fast for them. And some people are like, I'm like, look, you got to go to therapy. It's mental exercise. It's the gym.
That's what everybody's worried about, abs. Nobody wants to work this shit
out. It's as important. Yes. The stigma is ridiculous with it. Like, it's not even about that. It's like, if you have to process. It's like just making an appointment for processing. That's all it is. Whether something's bothering you directly or not, you have to take a beat to just get out what's in your brain out loud. You have to hear it. Because you could think it, but when you're thinking it, it's not as pointed. You have to just say it and you release it. You know, and whether it's something.
This is why stand up is so beautiful. Yeah. Speaking that out.
Yeah. And then you
So I was telling you before, I mean, as far as anxiety goes, I would have what I think anybody would have is basic anxiety. And you know, I was good. And then I have a daughter and she almost gets hit by a car. And I'm telling you, dude, it was like my anxiety, I was saying, was laying in a hammock, just chilling. And then it was like, I'm up, you know, and man, I got scared to death of flying.
Yeah.
We have to fly. I used to feel like a fucking rock star
fear.
Taking off that fucking.
My biggest fear is death, right?
Yeah, right.
But number two, like the first way, my biggest way is, I don't even like to say it out loud. And I didn't fly a lot.
That's two things you pray on, though. I mean, they bother you, death and control. I say it all the time. It's not like I can go up and go, guys, get the fuck out of here. Let me fly this fucking
plane. That's what it is.
We can't.
I talked about this two nights ago.
This is monkey tap,
at a show. Yeah. And I said, they were like, oh, you know, a friend of mine was like, you know, but it's more dangerous in the, I said, don't even.
Drive into
I said,
the
don't
airport.
Even. I said,
yeah, I know.
I'm not talking about, I said, but the mortality rate is a fucking 100%. I've been in 10 car accidents.
It's 100%. Yeah. Yeah.
And I didn't like flying. my whole life. And I never flew up. My first plane ride, I was 18. And then it was like every 2 years a vacation or something like that. Mm-hmm. And every time I would be like, you know, please. And now I'm flying 200 times a year.
Yeah.
And
I can sleep on a plane now.
I still
it worked.
I could sleep, but like there's always one point in every plane ride. Like I flew here, I'm flying tomorrow, I'm flying there. There's always one where even if it's for like 2 minutes, I go, this is nuts. This is nuts. What am I doing? Just even if it's 2 minutes and it's everyone. And I just like, oh my God. And then on the plane, your mind starts going you start picturing it. And
those wheels don't sound right going up.
What am I saying? What am I doing? How am I? Am I going to get in touch with anybody? Yeah. Like for me, that is like the worst possible way. The worst possible way.
Yeah, because you know
think
it.
About
you know going the whole
anytime
way.
Anytime I hear
it.
Of the being reported a plane crash, it ruins my fucking week. Because I'm thinking, those people, that is the most insane torture. I'd rather fall off a goddamn cliff. I'd rather do anything.
Than hear all those people
screaming
in a
tube. I think about what those people all had to deal with together. It takes me to a knee to think about people that die in plane crashes.
I didn't even tell Kirsten this, but I just had this dream where my stepson Kirsten and Tom Segura's tour manager were on a plane together with a pilot, and I'm watching the plane take off, and then I'm watching it crash. But it's not nosediving. This dude's doing everything he can. It's fight, and then boom, it slaps down on the ground.
Yeah.
And I'm freaking out because I'm watching my stepson, Kirsten, and Tom's tour manager, and whoever this poor pilot is, man or woman, poor pilot. And Tom's manager calls me and goes, I have bad news. And I'm like, well, you're not dead.
Right.
And now I'm hoping like hell, and this is fucked up, that the person who is the poor pilot. Because I don't want – and then I woke up thinking like, I fucking rooted for somebody to
– That's nuts. But he's got to go.
It's
he has to go.
Be you, bro.
I'm sorry. I start doing the exercise, and I'm like, well, Sully landed in the water, so that's on there. And then if we can get to like a patch of grass, something like that, I start playing a lot. But then
Valley skid. Yeah.
But then, and then you see, like, you still see, like you know, the people going down the slide. I'm like, I can still, you know. And then I'm like, when do you know that it's going to be okay? And then I'm like, then I saw this video one time, dude, of a plane. And it caught air in a way that I've never seen. And it went like this. And it went up. And it just went like that. And it was like coming to the ground. And it went up. And, like, I've never seen a plane. And they just, a commercial flight and went up and it just like twisted and just fell back down. And I was like, it was the most horrifying thing I've ever seen. And I can't get over the flying. And I'm afraid. So when I start thinking about it on a plane, I'm like, don't what are you doing? Because you're putting it into the universe. Like, there's right. that shit. Like, it can happen good. If it could happen good, like the Avamage, I'll put it out into the world, a fucking secret. It could happen bad, maybe. And I'm like, don't bring this fucking energy
to
this
flight. I look at it, I'm like, this little baby. No, God's not going to let this little baby die on this yeah. flight. Like,
how do you fly, when you have a kid? How do you fly? I'm thinking when I have a kid one day, like that's the end. Everything will be by tire. Everything will be, I will drive. I'm never going to see it. My child will never see it out of the continent.
John Madden over here.
You're going to see North and South America, and that's going to be it because I'm not going to bring you on a plane.
I got to take you out of school for 3 weeks for going to Florida.
My dad, when I was little, my dad never went anywhere without a weapon.
Kind of weapon?
He had everything, dude.
He did?
He would have a bat. In every seat, there was a bat. And he had, like, everything from a bat to a pipe to, like, you know, in, like, the stadium, they give out the mini bats.
Yeah,
so there's bats everywhere. Yeah. There's bats in all the cars. And then he would always carry brass knuckles in his back pocket or a knife. And that, you know, like, so, and I'd see it as, you know, my dad just, like, it wasn't a thing. It just was like, God forbid anything happens, I want to be able to protect the family. And I never thought anything of it. And like now, like if we go somewhere and I'll take my parents, they're a little older now, like, or like, you know, a niece or a nephew, or even if my girlfriend's going to, like, the crime in New York has been so crazy. And this is all this subway shit happening.
Yeah.
And, you know, the media will fuck you up. The media gets in your head. Sometimes it's worse than it isn't. But now I'm just like, I went and got them all pepper spray. And I'm just like, because if I'm not there, again, it's a control thing, you know, if I'm not there, like, I will never be able to live with myself. Like, you know what I mean? So I'm starting now. I'm like, I'll check in, you know, like my mom goes to the, you know, whatever, my girl's in. I'm like, hey, checking in. Like, how's everything? Like, just take an Uber and say, you know, yeah. But I'm like that already now. So forget about it when I have, like, so I am them. I am becoming them. You know what I mean?
All right. So we're going to wrap this up here because I want to calm you down. But
so I'm saying, like, is this, people are going to enjoy this?
Oh, this is a great episode. You think wait till you hear the anxiety it makes people feel better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we all have, like, this, like a guy like you, that people see you and they're like, look at this successful dude who is doing, and look what's behind that man.
For sure. Yeah.
And doing your shows. And you know what I'm saying? You're still persevering. You're still pushing through it.
I hope that helps somebody, but I think these people are going to watch it and be like, what the fuck is this?
No. People who watch this show,
guy for 1 hour cry about potentially
and another idiot laugh like a hyena. Yeah.
No, but I'm like, I hope this is entertainment. I don't know. I get what you're saying. You do good
beautiful.
Work. I get it, but I just feel like, man, I almost also feel like I didn't have anything that specific. Like, I just was like, oh, I generally am just a sad fellow.
Not
and it's
at
an
all.
Hour of that. Maybe.
You'll be pleasantly
surprised. I didn't have anything
surprised.
Juicy.
You talked about that. The fear of death is probably the number one fear of, I would say, most human beings.
Yeah.
It's the thing none of us can avoid. It doesn't matter how I look at Arnold Schwarzenegger now. I watched a video of him the other day pose, and I was like, Jesus Christ. Like, if you go back and look at Arnold Schwarzenegger from the 70s when he's posing, I mean, the dude, Lord.
Yeah.
And now it happens to everybody. Father Time and death are undefeated.
Terrible.
Okay, so everything we've talked about now.
I'll leave you with that. I think about when my moment is.
Tell
who
me.
Who will be there?
All right.
How's it going to happen?
You do?
I think about who's, no, when I'm dying, like, how is it happening? Who's standing by my side? Will I have my wits about me? Who's there? What am I saying? What's my parting words? Then I think about my funeral all the time.
You do?
All the time. Who's there? Who's saying what? And then another thing is.
Who's saying what?
I think about, I'm telling you. And then I think about, oh my God, like the girl I'm with now, I'm going to be with forever. Like we're best friends and everything, right? And I think about, and I'm a little older than her. Not a lot, but a little. And I'm just like, I hope I go first. I hope, you know, but then I'm like, oh my God. Then like, she has to deal with the loss of me. And then I feel bad that she has to deal. I'm gone and she's got to deal with that too. So
there's
no win. And that ain't changing.
No.
So what am I going to do? I got to think about that. I think about that every moment of the day. This can't be entertaining to people. I don't even know. I will tell you one thing. I'm canceling this week's therapy session. I'm not going to lose $275. You just saved me $275. I like when I go back in the next week. She's like, what do you want to talk about? I'm like, is it okay if we still talk about the death? I know we've been talking about for 64 weeks.
Oh, shit. All right. After everything we've talked about.
So go see me.
Hold on.
I'm on tour. I'm on blue. I'm on hoot. I'll be in all your cities.
I'm crying in the city near you.
You will cry laughing.
What advice would you give to your 16-year-old self? Knowing everything we've just talked about, what do you go back and say to 16-year-old Sal?
Yeah, I say, and this is harder to do than not, but I say, cut all the bullshit out. Do what makes you happy immediately. If there's something you like to do at 16, it doesn't matter. You're at 18, you could be drafted. You're an adult. You could have a fucking family. 18, you have the world by the balls, you know? And you hear that. And I heard it, but you don't necessarily put it into practice. You always think there's time, and there kind of is until there isn't. And when there isn't anymore, there fucking isn't. And I started comedy like young. I did like sketch comedy, improv. I would write and stuff. And I did a little bit of stand up out of college, a little. And then I didn't. And then I had an office job. And then I had a business. And then I didn't. And then I got the show because I was plugging away, still writing and still pitching shows. And then finally, when I was on the air, my schedule was so busy. And I was like, the only thing I've ever wanted to do, ever, since I'm a child, is be a stand-up comedian. I have no time. But if I don't dedicate every single ounce of time that I have to it right now, in spite of all my work, then I won't be that. And I'm not going to not be that, because it's all I ever wanted to be. And so every free waking moment I've had in the last like 10 years, I've done stand-up. And I can't believe that my job is a professional stand-up comedian now. Like, that was all I ever wanted, and it happened. And I cannot believe my life that is my job. I was like, that's right, all I want. And I do it right now.
You're living
in
your
front
dream.
Of you right now. I'm saying it out loud, and I blow my own mind that I did that. And the only regret I have, if you want to call it regret, because I'm so thankful that I did it and I'm here now, but I would have started that shit at 16. I would have started it at 18.
I would have started younger.
Boom.
Yeah.
I wish I'd been doing comedy for 20, 30 years already, because it's what makes me happy. And like, you know, find a way to make money doing what makes you happy.
Amen.
And again, you hear it all the time. Then you'll never work a day in your life. I bust my ass. I work. But
you're still
going to
work.
It means something.
But you love
to
what
me.
You're
it
doing.
It means something to me. Don't go punch a clock. And not everybody has that liberty, but figure it out. You know, like, if you got to do this thing to pay the bills, just try to put yourself on a path to get to something that you do that makes you just feel good, you know, and don't waste any time at all.
That's great advice.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably hack advice.
It's not hack advice.
But it's for hack for a reason, I suppose. Yeah.
Well, now let them know where you're going to be and plug and promote everything you want to get.
This is the funniest.
Ahead.
I have never plugged comedy dates
plug
after just
bro.
An hour of crying. Guys, I promise you, this is one side. There's only one other side, which is the side you'll buy a ticket for. At Sal Vulcano. It's so funny to me to plug socials. At Sal Vulcano on all socials. My website is salvulcanocomedy.com. It shouldn't. I don't know if it should say Sal Vulcano Comedy. This is where I'm on tour right now. I got like 20, 30 cities, and I'm adding another 20 actually by the end of the year. But just in June, I'm in Rochester, Syracuse, South Bend, Indiana, Milwaukee, Minnesota, Hampton Beach, and Foxwoods. And in July, I'll be in Vegas, Phoenix, Boulder, Colorado, Portland, Seattle, Vancouver, Louisville, and Evansville. And I'm announcing like another 20 cities real soon for the end of the year. So they're all happening in June and July, and salvulcanocomedy.com. And then my podcast,
of course,
which is Hey Babe, which is just Anything Kind of Goes, and Taste Buds, where I argue vehemently with my friend about everything bagel versus cinnamon raisin bagel.
I love it. They're both great. Brother, thank you. For real. Thank you for coming on.
Dude, I have not done anything like this.
I love hearing
and
that.
And it was really, really cool to do. I appreciate you.
Thank you for your time.
Yeah.
The first podcast I think I've ever recorded on a Sunday.
I'm sorry about that.
Don't be.
I saw the window and I just wanted to see you.
I can't thank you enough for doing that.
Yeah.
So thank you for making it work for us.
Thank you, brother.
And as always, RyanSickler.com. Ryan Sickler on all social media. We'll talk to y'all next week.
Thank you, guys. Come see me on tour.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.